If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Julie Giese is in our studio. She's the president of NASCAR's Chicago Street Race. Is that right, President? Chicago NASCAR Street Race?
That is correct.
So what does that mean? You are in Chicago. You're based in Chicago, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
You're a Wisconsin person originally.
I am.
But NASCAR now has a permanent office where you go to work every day here in the city.
Yes, we do. And I think that's been important for us. NASCAR is really focused on always giving back to the communities in which we race. So when we announced that we were coming to Chicago, one of the very first things we did was find office space and set up a full team here in Chicago, hiring Chicagoans. So we're just over in the Prudential Building and worked on a lot of different community initiatives really from day one. Mm.
The tickets went on sale today for the mm-hmm. event this summer. The date on the event this summer, when are you guys racing this year?
We will be racing July 5th and 6th, so that July 4th weekend again.
And again, the same location, Grant Park and
Byron's. Yes.
And tickets just went on sale. So
they
if I go online now, I can buy a ticket.
You can, yes. So we went on sale this morning. And if you've been to the race before, you'll see some similar ticket offerings. But you'll also see some new things as well, just based on feedback that we've gotten the last 2 years. It's the beauty of a temporary course. You can adjust it based on what you're hearing.
For example,
changing some of the location of the viewing structures. Our premium hospitality is all closer to the entry around Buckingham Fountain. One of the biggest pieces of feedback we got from attendees last year was the attendees that had what we called a general admission ticket, ability to really walk around the course, see it from different vantage points. They wanted more viewing areas, so we've consolidated where those viewing structures are to open up more space along the course in different areas. So, and we've changed that name to a grounds pass, really trying to encourage people that have that pass, absolutely walk around, check it out.
What will that cost?
It'll start at $99. So that's a big change for us this year as well.
How so?
We reduced prices pretty much across the board in different areas. Last year, tickets started at $150, and this year they'll start at that $99.
Because you want to get more people there, but isn't it hard to know what the audience is for the Chicago Street Race, given the weather you've had the first 2 years?
Yes, the weather.
You can laugh.
I know. I can laugh. It's all you can do, right? I think year one with those 9 inches of rain, who would have expected that?
It was nine
on race day. But still got the race in and was a huge success. And actually, I was talking with someone this morning who that was their first NASCAR race and despite the weather had an absolutely amazing time. And this past year, we almost got through the weekend without rain Sunday afternoon.
And then the rain came in
right at the start of the race. So this year we've moved the start of the race on Sunday up to 1 o'clock. So when we first announced year one, it was, a 4:30 start. Last year was a 3:30 start. And both of those were weather impacted. We had to end them a little early. So 1 o'clock, that means it's going to be beautiful and sunny all day, I'm sure.
What were you thinking when in year two the rain was coming?
It's like you can't make it up. I mean, it was like, I think it was like a 10% chance of rain.
Yeah,
literally, we were like, okay, we're good. And then we got to the point where we were about to start the race and it started to rain. And I'm just like, you can't make it up. But again, the good news is we have a wet weather package. We can run in wet weather. We were able to get the race started. And again, our drivers put on such a great show.
You had to be aware, too, of some of the pushback. And I don't know if that was reflective of the mayor at the time or the new mayor. Or I think there's also this notion that anything new is a lot for people to digest, and they tend to react negatively. And then there's our hallowed space of Grant Park mm-hmm. and Buckingham Fountain. So anyway, you were probably aware of some of the skepticism people had. What was your reaction to that?
I think that was important for me, really, for us to be here year-round, to be present and have the conversations. That first year leading into the event, I myself had over 150 meetings with whether it was businesses, resident buildings, different organizations in and around the footprint, just answering questions. And I think you talked about anything new. there's, you know, like, how is this going to work? What are you doing? And it was just new for everybody. And it was new for us, too. So I think being able to have those conversations and understand it, it made us better. We were able to learn from different experiences that maybe residents had for other events in and around that area to make sure that we had a plan, access to things like dog parks or how sidewalk schedules are in and around Grant Park for them, so they know when you can access those areas, when our build is starting, and really just trying to be always available when the build starts, if there are adjustments we can make.
What about the build?
So for us, that first year, again, it was first time we've ever done this. So we had a good schedule. We stayed on schedule. We actually opened some of the streets up early coming out of it. But we knew really after that first year, we sat down with the city and did an after action meeting. We all agreed there was opportunity to tighten the schedule. So going into year two, we took 6 days off of the schedule, made it even more compact. And again, just trying to be good neighbors. And this year, we're going to take another at least 7 days off of it.
So 4 weeks to build it this year?
About 4 weeks, yes.
And then
build and take down.
A week to take it down or no?
Just over a week. We'll be still working through the exact dates, but the race is July 5th and 6th. We'll be clear probably 9 or 10 days after.
And why is NASCAR doing a street race?
A couple reasons. One, so we've never had a street race ever in our history.
Other
than Chicago, yes. And so for us, it's about bringing our sport to a new audience. We've obviously raced around the Chicagoland area out in Joliet, but bringing the race to downtown, making it as accessible as possible to a new audience was really an important opportunity for us. It was our 75th season at the time when we ran the very first street race, and we wanted it to be iconic, knowing the history. It's pretty special when you think about it, like 75 years, the sport's been around, and to be part of something that had never been done before.
But a race in Cincinnati, or certainly Atlanta, I mean, you've already got a fan base there. Chicago's a big city, but you don't have a footprint or a presence here. Chicago's also an urban area. Are you trying to reach people of color as well?
Absolutely. I think all of the above. You know, we have a good base. We have about 1 million or so NASCAR fans around the Chicagoland area, but we knew there was a big opportunity. So when you look at that very first race, over 80% of our attendees were at their very first NASCAR race, which was that was higher than any of my goals. Like, I was hoping for 60-70%, and we had so many new fans. And then last year we were closer to mid 60%. So you saw some good return, but still continuing to introduce our sport to a new audience.
So what's the ideal day then for you on July, 5th and 6th, did we say? 80 degrees?
I'll take 75 and sunny. I mean,
not to... if the tires or the athletes want it cooler than 90 degrees.
I'm sure they probably would. But you look at, like, we race in Daytona in the summertime. So they're used to, and they're, like you mentioned, they're athletes. They're used to that. I'm sure they would love a little cooler. And I think from an attendee perspective, obviously, a nice 75 degree summer day, the summers we're known for here in Chicago, would be fantastic.
Is it a feature or a bug that there are as many turns and tight turns in this course?
So it's interesting when you talk to the drivers year one going into it. Again, they had no practice. Their only opportunity to familiarize themselves with the course was on a simulator. And it was very, we worked with the city, we scanned the streets. So they, like, the materials, the asphalt, every kind of little tweak on the road was in their simulator. So they knew what to expect. But until you got on the course that first time, you weren't really sure. And that first day when the drivers, they do a track walk, so they can walk the course before there's any cars on track. And they were walking around and they're like, this is a lot wider than we thought it was.
Wider. Yeah,
and that's obviously for them, that's what they're looking for, because they want those passing zones.
Yeah.
And so it's been a very competitive race. When you look at, there are several passing zones. And last year's NASCAR Xfinity Series race on Saturday, Shane Van Gisbergen and Kyle Larson, I think they, I don't remember how many times they swapped the lead throughout the entire race.
It was a nice finish, wasn't it?
It was fantastic.
Yeah, right. But there was no temptation to have a longer stretch somewhere. I don't know how you do that, but there was no doubt that it was going to be the same course.
Yeah, I mean, the feedback we got from the drivers after year one and really from the attendees were it's good. And so for us, if we can take that, like, as you're building this new event, the more uncertainty you can take out of it, out of the equation, and being able to point to really good on-track competition, we were good with that.
Julie Giese's in our studio, the president of NASCAR Chicago, the street race that's coming the first weekend in July. So that's our big weekend in Chicago. We'll put a million people downtown without the race. What do you think the attendance for the race will be?
So we're usually, you know, around that 40 to 50,000. We don't release our exact attendance numbers, but through looking at working with Choose Chicago, they do an economic impact report. And looking at those data points, we had more unique visitors in year two than we did in year one. And the reason for that is we introduced single day tickets after the first year. The very first year, it was a weekend only. So having single day tickets allows for more people to attend. And we saw the positive results from a tourism perspective. We went from 15 different countries represented up to 24 different countries represented. People were saying they were staying longer when they were traveling in. About half of our attendees actually come from outside of Chicago.
Tickets are on sale just now. The website is what? Where do I go?
NASCARChicago.com.
NASCARChicago.com. For $99 to $599, you can watch the race. Those are significantly discounted from last year. And again, maybe you would not have had to do that if the weather was better and you knew what your potential audience was. I wonder why you discounted.
Yeah, I think for us, it's just continuing to hear the feedback, but also understand the types of experiences now that we have one really good year of good weather behind us.
Yeah.
And we had all this really good feedback from attendees that we were able to really kind of focus in on those areas and be more efficient.
Are you going to have a music venue again too then?
We're going to have music, absolutely. So one of the big changes for the weekend was Sunday's race start time is going to be 1 o'clock. Was much later in the afternoon the first 2 years. So we're working on what the entertainment looks like on Sunday, just knowing with the race being at 1 o'clock, how does a concert fit into that. So we'll probably focus on some entertainment leading into the race, but then we will have the big concert on Saturday night following that NASCAR Xfinity Series race.
Okay, so yeah, walk me through that. Mm-hmm. The NASCAR Xfinity Series is the first day.
Correct, yep. So Saturday, we'll have practice and qualifying in the morning leading into the NASCAR Xfinity Series race at about 3:30 p.m. And then following that race, then we will have our evening concert, very similar to what we've had the last 2 years. We'll announce that concert talent here in the next month or two. And then on Sunday, we'll have gates open, and then we'll have a what we're going to call like a more robust kind of pre-race entertainment experience with all of our drivers, local music entertainment, and then that will lead into the 1 o'clock start for the NASCAR Cup Series.
Who are you asking to sing?
We're still working on that. So
I would imagine it'd be a country or country rock or rock band artist.
So we've been a little bit all over the board each year. We've done a lot of data and are still working out from availability. But assumptions are close.
Well, that wasn't helpful at all.
I know.
But actually, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because if you were at Daytona, you would know the place. Here it's Chicago, which isn't Daytona. So I wonder, how do you accommodate maybe a more urban audience,
right,
but also stay true to NASCAR roots?
And that is the question, and that's been really important to us. And so when you look at our music lineup in past years, we've tried to have different genres represented, different audiences, so that there was something for everybody. Working on trying to do that again this year, where there are options. And for me, the experience at our event, I really wanted, like, regardless of your interests and who you are, that you can find something that fits you, and making sure that we're creating these really unique experiences, whether you're an avid race fan and want to be able to see all of the laps of the race for or versus maybe an entertainment seeker and like you love just going to music and just new events or a sports fan. This is NASCAR's new for me. I want to get a little bit of sports. Mm-hmm. And the thing about NASCAR, the access that NASCAR provides is pretty special. You're able to see those drivers interact with the drivers literally, you know, minutes before the race.
Do you want some crashes? Or I took a picture the first year, and it looked like 10 cars were all trying to get out of the parking lot and get back on the course. And the joke was, we've all done that with a cup of Starbucks in our hand around here because it was just such a cluster. But it was the water, and the cars were losing traction. Yeah. So do you want how clean do you want the race to be?
You know, I mean, I think people will tell you they like seeing that. When you look at our event, you want to be able to see those drivers be able to pass leading into those corners, maybe, you know, put a fender to the car in front of them, move them out of the way. We saw that definitely in that NASCAR Xfinity Series race, especially in the dry weather. You see it in the wet weather as well. So having some of that, I think, is part of it. And I think the durability of the cars that are part of NASCAR, where you can allow that happens and they're able to just back up and move on.
Yeah, right. How fast will what are the speeds that on a dry course we would expect?
They're average. It's a good question. Less than their average across the whole thing is less than 100 miles an hour, of course, because of the 12 turns. The fastest part of the course is that stretch between Balboa and Roosevelt on DuSable Lakeshore Drive, with that curve, like as you head towards Museum Campus. But that the drivers will tell you that turn four, right hand to Roosevelt, comes up incredibly quickly, and so they have brake markers. They know when they need to start slowing down to make that turn, but they'll get over 100 on that stretch.
So what's the revenue situation then like with the city?
So we have a 3-year agreement, and we pay our permits fee, and then we pay an incremental amount that covers things like city services or however the city wants to use those dollars to offset costs associated with the event. So that's something we started doing last year. NASCAR's investment for the event is about $50 million. I mean, you think about having to literally build everything, all those barriers. There's over 2,000 concrete barriers that will load in. You can put 4 barriers on one truck. So if you think about just the transportation logistics of getting them in and out. But for us, this event is about introducing that new audience, whether they're here in person, which is what I want, but also watching on television.
Well, I think that's the hard calculation, because I wasn't downtown. I was watching it on TV, and I think a lot of us were charmed by seeing our city on national television that way. It's not like we don't have television of Chicago. We've got 4 pro sports franchises. People know of Chicago, but it was just a different way to see it. And we were very excited about the overhead shots and the street shots. And there goes a car 100 miles an hour. And in the background, you see a CTA bus. So I think a lot of us were kind of jazzed by that. But the flip side is that maybe we didn't get enough for it. Like, the publicity is good, but did the city drive a hard enough bargain for it to justify 5 weeks of inconvenience at a feature park? That's not even a question, but I think you probably know that's one of the conversations we had around here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I completely understand that. I think in addition to the what we're paying, you could look at that economic impact, $128 million directly associated with the street race on that weekend. They're staying additional nights to enjoy attractions and restaurants and things like that. And then you talk about that media value. It was over $40 million in media value. So when you look at just hours-long commercials for the city, and I think to me, that's one thing that I have really appreciated with the broadcast team, where they have shown the city in just such amazing camera views. There's a shot from Jackson looking back to Michigan, and you can see the L going by behind it. I mean, it was like the most special, I have it actually. I had the broadcast team give me a screen grab of it, and I have a photo of it in my office, because it's authentic Chicago.
312 says, this NASCAR Chicago president is a real natural on radio.
Oh, well, thank you.
I imagine she does well on TV, too. It's nice of you to come in, Julie, and I hope that we can have more conversations like this. So this is year three, and then do we have an extension? What's the status of the contract?
So right now, we have options for 2 years after. We'll have those conversations, obviously, in the coming weeks, months. Right now, our focus is on 2025, and glad that we have tickets on sale today.
And if you want to get them, you go to
NASCARChicago.com.
Thanks for coming into our studio.
Thank you.